I want to express my thanks for the way you as a congregation have received us as we have been seeking for a spiritual home. And the last 15 months has been delightful to worship with you, and appreciate also your care for us during this time when Karen had the bicycle accident. She's in the hospital again. She had some more maneuvers done with her knee, but hopes to come home today. What a privilege to be able to speak from the scripture lesson today. The discipline of following the lectionary sometimes takes us as preachers to places we would not normally choose to go. I'd much rather preach about a healing story or a feeding the multitude story with a happy ending. Do people really want to get up Sunday morning to come and hear about some bridesmaids who got locked out of the wedding party? It also is like a fairy tale with a nasty ending. It also comes to us in all kinds of cultural trappings that seem very unfamiliar to us. About the only part about this story that pertains to our practices, the presence of the bridesmaids. And of course, you probably know that bridesmaids, the practice of having bridesmaids, goes back to medieval European times when it was believed that the bride was particularly vulnerable to the evil eye on the day of her marriage. So many people would be casting their eye on her as she came down the middle aisle. So they sent the bridesmaids down ahead as decoys to deflect the evil eye. We still have this practice today, although the meaning has certainly changed. Weddings in Jesus' time were a great celebration. The whole village was involved, and it lasted for at least 7 days. And it began with the bridegroom and his mates weaving their way through the village, usually late at night, to surprise the bride and the bridesmaids at her house, where they would then join a parade to the groom's house and then have a great festivity. The oil-burning lamps were a necessary accessory for any woman going out alone at night. Not so much to light the pathway in front of them, but they would often hold them up near their faces so everybody in the village could see who they were and where they were going and not start any nasty rumors about them. And so here we have 10 bridesmaids, 5 that are wise and 5 that are foolish. A metaphor that Jesus used before about the foolish builders and the wise builder. There's not much difference between them. All 10 of them are bridesmaids, virgins, some translations say. They all had heat. They had oil-burning lamps. They were all waiting for the bridegroom to show up. And they all fell asleep. And the bridal party turned into a slumber party. Now, if we're going to interpret this strange story properly, we must situate it in its context. In Matthew 24, Jesus has just given signs of the end of the age, with warnings to be vigilant, to be watchful, to be prepared and not be surprised. And he sets up a number of contrasts for us. The faithful servant versus the unfaithful servant, who is surprised by the master's unexpected return. The servant who invested the master's wealth and the other one who hid it away. And then the sheep and the goats. And a common element of these stories is that of surprise. Those who are rewarded are surprised, and those who are condemned are likewise surprised. At last, the bridegroom arrives, and the young women are summoned to meet him. But 5 of them are running out of oil because they didn't bring enough extra supply with them. And so instead of joining the joyful procession to the groom's house, they have to go on a midnight shopping trip to look for oil. Now, you can well imagine the commentators have spilt a lot of ink over the meaning of the oil in the lamps. St. Augustine said it was love. John Wesley said that the lamp is faith and the oil are the works of love that proceed from faith. Martin Luther said it was simply faith. But how do you run out of faith? Or we could say the oil is the Holy Spirit, but how can the third person of the Trinity ever be in short supply? I'm reminded of the old campfire song we used to sing, and I'm sure if Pastor Ryan were preaching, he would sing it for you. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning till the break of day. The song really got yanked out of the story because the only appropriate place for these women to sing this song might be to the wise bridesmaids or to the shopkeepers in the village. And in the days before we thought of global warming, somebody invented the verse, give me gas in my Ford, keep me trucking for the Lord. And after that, the song kind of went viral. The song is somewhat misleading, as though God were responsible to replenish what was lacking in the lives of these unprepared women. The point made by the parables before this and the ones after is that faithfulness and obedience are marks of a good and prepared servant. The wise are those who put their faith into action and fulfill the responsibilities well, who welcome the stranger, who care for the needy. This is how you put the punchline of this parable into practice. Verse 13, keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. The command to keep awake is not in a literal sense. These women were not condemned for falling asleep. The wise and the foolish both fell asleep. But perhaps Matthew's readers were getting tired of waiting for this coming kingdom. There were persecutions, there were troubles afoot, and they were losing sight. They were not living as though the party were already starting. They'd lost a vision for the coming kingdom. It doesn't mean by keeping awake that we keep reading the signs of the times. Harold Camping, an American Christian radio broadcaster with Family Radio, a station that broadcasts to 150 different stations, announced at the beginning of this year his prophetic view of numerology and where the world was heading, and concluded after careful investigation that on May 21st, 2011, all those who believed in Jesus would fly away and 5 months of plagues and troubles would hit the earth with millions of people dying each day, culminating with the end of the world on October 21st, 2011. Harold Camping gave a private interview recently and admitted that probably we don't know when the end of the world will take place. If he had done a little bit less number crunching and a little bit more paying attention to the words of Jesus, he would have saved himself a lot of embarrassment. Our story ends with a locked door and a voice saying, I never knew you. Robert Capone reminds us that he did not say, I never called you. I didn't love you. I didn't draw you to myself. He only says, I never knew you because you never bothered to know me. And that might be the little key that unlocks the meaning of this parable. Because isn't spiritual formation all about getting to know God more so that his life begins to flow in and through us? That's why we meet in this place. We gather together around the word, around the table, and we are sent out to look for Christ in the places that we work, in our neighborhoods, in our city, to do the work of Christ in a broken world. One of the main ways we prepare for the kingdom is our regular participation in the Lord's table or the Eucharist. John Wesley referred to it as a converting ordinance. That is to say, as we partake in the Lord's table, as we confess our sins, as we recognize his presence among us, we are renewed and replenished and reinvigorated for continued service. Yesterday, I spent a delightful time with the choir in rehearsal for the Advent season. You're going to have a tremendous treat during this Advent season with the music that we're preparing. We sort of got into the Christmas spirit as we sang together. Our participation in the Lord's table is a rehearsal for that wedding feast that we're looking forward to. We only get a little sip of wine and a little morsel of bread, they're not very satisfying. They don't fill you up. They leave us wanting more. They're an appetizer, a reminder that the bridegroom is coming. Let's just spend a few moments doing a little bit of heart check, asking how our appetite for God is today. Does your desire to know him, to have his life flowing through you, his kingdom coming among us, compare with your craving for food? Light of the world, come again to cold hearts, weary bodies, confused minds, to fill with spirit and renew with life, that service will be true, love be real, and glory be to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and always. Amen.